Blog Talk Radio. Welcome back to the Alaska Patriot Network. We're so glad you could join us. Today is Friday, October 28, 2022, and wow, we've got a lot going on tonight. I have Lori Ann, the host of the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann show, joining us here in just a moment. We have breaking news, Paul Pelosi fiasco. We'll be discussing that along with a lot of other topics tonight. There's so many to list. We've got midterms. We have the pretender-in-chief who's fumbling the nuclear football. Lori Ann and I are getting settled into the co-host chair and the host chair, respectively. So hang tight. We got a great show for you. We're so glad you could be here. If you would like to join tonight's discussion, the guest call-in number is 515-602-9722. Press lucky number 1 to join the conversation. We'll bring you on. We'd love to hear your take on current events and what we're talking about. We always welcome that discussion. So hang tight. We're getting settled in, and we'll be right back with you with a great show.
Well, I could tell you about him cheating and how I stood there while she was screaming out his name beneath my Egyptian cotton sheets. And I could tell you how she's much younger and how she lies and tells him he's a good lover. How that dolphin on her back looks more like a manatee. Oh, I'd be
Tune in for the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann Show, Sundays, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, to discuss current events, news, and political opinion with Lucid Libertarian flair. I promote liberty, freedom, our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and limited government, while speaking against corporate and government corruption, tyranny, and the globalist Great Reset agenda that undermines our precious American sovereignty. Please also like and follow my Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann page on Facebook. You can help me battle their freedom-loathing censorship by visiting my page regularly, along with reacting, commenting, and sharing my posts. Thank you, and I hope listening to my show becomes part of your Sunday night routine.
Imagine waking up in a trunk. What is grooming? What if I told you we had a 40% increase of human and sex trafficking in our country due to COVID lockdowns? We already had high numbers to begin with. One's Purpose is an amazing organization pounding the pavement every day, helping these survivors get help. Unfortunately, they do not have the funding they need for a safe house. In the state of Oregon, we have zero safe houses for these survivors who have endured the most heinous of crimes. The time is now to get involved. The time is now to help stop human trafficking. Please go to onespurpose.com to get involved. If you need help and if you know someone who needs to get help, please contact 541-221-3448. Make a donation. Make a difference.
Call innocent allegiance.
All right, and we're back. Welcome to the Alaska Patriot Network. This is Dahl. I'm your host. I have Lori Ann, the host of the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann show with us tonight. Welcome in, Lori Ann.
Well, hello, hello. Happy Friday night to you, Dahl.
Yes, happy Friday night to you, Lori Ann. Happy Friday night to everyone out there. We want to thank you so much for joining us. It's always such a pleasure and privilege to be here with our listeners, as well as to join my good friend Lori Ann in some discussion. We have like some crazy stuff going on here in the United States tonight. We've got the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi's husband, was attacked in their residence, and I know all of you have already heard about this, but we really need to discuss this tonight. I mean, this cannot go without discussion. What do you say, Lori Ann?
I absolutely agree. And, you know, maybe there are people that haven't really heard about it or paid attention. So it's definitely worth discussing. And I think that, I think we've got a couple of clips to kick off the discussion to start out with. And of course, we got all kinds of election stuff. I mean, we got more than enough material to go 2 hours plus.
Yeah, you know, and so, folks, if you have not caught up yet, Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi's husband, Paul Pelosi, was attacked in their California home today. Last night. Apparently, they have a suspect that they arrested, and there's so many questions I have about this. But anyway, so let's go ahead and lead into this. So we've got David DePepe, the suspect who broke into House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's home and attacked Paul Pelosi with a hammer. The alleged suspect was wearing only underwear when authorities arrived on the scene and left a manifesto that promoted conspiracy theories, according to reports. DePepe was in his underwear when police arrived. Authorities had found DePepe's manifesto on social media, where he wrote about conspiracy theories and had a list of other targeted politicians. CNN spoke with two of DePepe's former acquaintances who eventually stopped talking to him just due to his disturbing behavior. Linda Schneider, who occasionally let DePepe house it roughly 8 years ago, told CNN he was living in a storage unit in the Berkeley area when they met. Schneider ultimately cut ties with DePepe after she received really disturbing emails where he sounded like a megalomaniac and so out of touch with reality. Quote, unquote. Schneider ended contact with DePepe because it seemed so dangerous, and he said he would use biblical justification to do harm. Laura Hayes, who also worked with DePepe roughly a decade ago, claimed he would tell others he talks to angels and there would be a hard time coming. CNN also spoke with two of DePepe's family members who confirmed DePepe is estranged from his family. So, we'll go back into this alleged suspect. But what's important to discuss is that Paul Pelosi will recover, hopefully, you know, with minimal, harmful outcome. You know, I don't want to see anything bad happen to anybody. He was attacked with a hammer. It's really interesting. Lori Ann, what was your first thought when this story broke?
You know, I just thought, I'm not surprised, right? Because obviously, you know, I didn't have the information when it first broke. I didn't know who it was or whatever. That information wasn't out yet, but that, you know, he was attacked. And I'm just not surprised because, you know, there are a lot of people that really hate Nancy Pelosi. And when you combine that hate with mental derangement, sounds like this is what happened. And I'm just surprised that it was even possible to happen. I mean, they are up to the hilt with security, you know. They've got security details. They've got, you know, security around the house, cameras, you name it. You know, it's amazing to me that this guy was able to do what he did.
Yes, and you have to remember, too, Speaker Pelosi, she is not under Secret Service detail, but she is actually under the detail of the Capitol Police. So that is very, very interesting. Lorianne, I can't help but I got to go down the rabbit hole with this one. I mean, let's go back to this last spring when Paul Pelosi was pulled over with the DWI. This guy's got some really questionable behavior that, you know, needs to be addressed. And we're going to go a little deeper into this alleged suspect because there are a lot of details that are interesting. But, you know, Lorianne, one of my first thoughts when this story broke was, first thought was, I'm glad Paul Pelosi made it out. You know, he's alive. But second thought was, this seems like an intimate thing. Not so much as a politically activated thing. This person had to be invited to the home. And frankly, my first impression was a Grindr date gone wrong.
Maybe. You know, I want to know exactly what this manifesto said. I haven't seen that they've actually, you know, published out there what the manifesto actually says. Have you seen anything on that?
Exactly. No, but I'm sure that they'll print something up here real soon because, like I was just getting ready to say, you know, all right. So you have a supposedly somebody that should have high security detail in their home, some type of private security, or you would expect Capitol Police or something of that scenario. So like I said, this person had to have been snuck into the house by Paul Pelosi or invited into the house. And it's really, really interesting because something happened between Paul and this person. Now, it's really we're getting like, you know, information from all people, CNN, you know, it seems to be purging the most detailed information on this alleged suspect. And all they are coming up with were alleged former roommates, former, you know, people that they worked with, acquaintances that stopped talking to him. Now, if these people knew about this strange behavior for years, why in the world didn't they do anything with this? I mean, one of the sources actually lived with the alleged suspect, and this person was a nudist activist, which that, you know, nothing, no big deal. But
yeah, we got a lot of that around here on the West Coast.
Yeah, exactly. But it's really interesting because I believe that this was a intimate crime between two people, that this was not politically motivated. The other flip side is maybe Nancy put a hit out on Paul, and she's willing to sacrifice her husband to make it look like she's got all these people out for her. I mean, we need a boogeyman.
Yeah.
The midterm are two
she
weeks
is
less than
enough.
2 weeks.
I wouldn't put it past her
yes.
one bit, you know. I mean,
I'm
you
sorry,
know, politically, it's just ahead of the election. She would get fee voting, and all the Democrats would get behind her. It would give all the Democrats, you know, more of a push, you know, just heading up to the elections. And I mean, this guy is having some pretty bad luck, because what was it, only, when was it? It was only a couple weeks ago or something that he crashed his car, you know, and had the whole,
no,
maybe
that was
a month ago
spring,
or whatever.
Yeah, in
Wayne
Country.
And then didn't he have something else come up too? Another incident recently?
No, but what I believe, well, I think there was some kind of questionable stock deals. But what's really interesting is when he did get pulled over for the DWI, he, instead of pulling out his license, he pulled out his police union donor card or something of that effect. You know, like, look, I support you, you know, just let me go. This guy is, you know, he not only did he get pulled over for DWI, he crashed into another person. And he did do his jail time, and he got convicted for, you know, he got cited for it and stuff. But it's so interesting because, I mean, the guy's not even out of surgery, and you have the pretender and thief, Biden, blaming the GOP for this attack. And President Joe Biden blamed Republicans on Friday for the attack on House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's husband, Paul Pelosi, claiming their rhetoric was responsible for inspiring the attacker. It's reported, quote unquote, that the same chant was used by this guy they have in custody that was used on January 6th in the attack on the U.S. Capitol, Biden said. I'm not making this up, quote unquote. The president was referred to several
I'm glad he had to
reports.
Clarify that, because he makes stuff up so often. So he had to clarify that he wasn't making it up.
Exactly. So, you know, when he says, I'm not making this up, this is, you know, you can take this to the bank. You can guarantee that's a fib. So the president was referring to several media reports that cited anonymous sources familiar with the incident about details about the attack. This is reported, this is Joe Biden saying this, quote unquote, because I don't speak word salad like this. So this is reported, I can't guarantee it, I can tell you what's being reported, Biden continued. The chant was, where's Nancy? Where's Nancy? Where's Nancy? Biden commented on the attack, top of his speech at the Philadelphia 3rd Annual Independence Dinner, and said that he spoke with the speaker and said her husband was operated on and was recovering and in good spirits. She's on a plane now heading out there. How long does it take to get from D.C. to, I mean, come on. This woman can go to Taiwan in a drop of a hat, but she's still, you know, she was still en route to her husband. As he spoke about the incident, Biden grew angry and began yelling, this is despicable. And there's no place in America. There's too much violence, political violence, too much hatred, too much vitriol. The president put the blame squarely on Republicans. What makes us think that one party can talk about stolen elections, COVID being a hoax, it's all a bunch of lies, and not affect people who might not be well-balanced? Enough is enough, he concluded. So he already threw out the gauntlet there. Like, he's in the game now to call this, you know, a political deflection. Like I said, I do not believe that this person was politically motivated. I believe that this was something intimate, and it's somebody close to him to get into his house. I mean, where do you go with this? I mean, this is how despicable this party is, that they would,
yeah, I just
pretty much,
it's hard not to smell false flag on this, you know. I mean, yes, he was injured and everything, but it just sort of, it just seems like, you know, all of the little puzzle pieces are just too perfectly fitting together for sending a message, you know, and like grandstanding it and making it political and making it against, you know, of course they're going to spin it and make it against Republicans. And you know that that's where they're going to go with it. They always will. Anything that ever, you know, happens is always going to be blamed on them. Biden is following suit. And that's why I want to know exactly what this manifesto supposedly says. And is it even the suspect or, you know, the guy that did it? Is it really, is it his manifesto? Is it somebody else's that he just had on him? I don't know. I mean, I haven't gone into and watched like everything about this. And so I'm not really sure of all the information out there on it, but you know, this suspect definitely seems mentally deranged, and definitely seems to, you know, have some sort of insider way to be able to even get close enough, you know, to attack him. Not with all the security and everything, like I said before, it just doesn't make much sense. And of course, this is, you know, it's an October surprise, you guys. You know, is this the October surprise? Isn't there always, especially when the Republicans, you know, the Democrats are shaking in their boots right now because Republicans are, you know, looking really good in the polls right now across, you know, state after state, including many areas that have traditionally been Democrat. You know, the, you know, fraudulent in chief even came to Portland to try to help boost Tina Kotek because her Republican challenger, Christine Drazen, is just barely beating her in the polls. You know, and so, you know, this is big, you know, so Oregon is, you know, just one example of a very traditionally Democrat rule state. And we have a Republican candidate for governor that has a really, really good shot at winning so long as Republicans and even, you know, libertarian, Republican-leaning people that want to make sure that we don't have a Kate Brown 2.0, you know, Christine Drazen has a real shot. And like I said, this isn't, you know, this is a dynamic that's happening across the country. So I just think that it is, it just smells of a kind of a setup, an October surprise to help gain sympathy and get Democrats out to vote in the midterms, which historically Democrats, you know, tend not to get out the vote during the midterms traditionally. And so they're going to use this as the push to get more Democrats out there voting. Am I off base with this? Or
no.
What do you think?
You're right on. And, you know, all right, so speaking of, and I'm glad you brought this up because, you know, we are in midterms. There seems to be a lot of deflection. It seems that the left is using this as a talking point and a way of firing people up. And now we've got Governor Jay Inslee in the state of Washington, who just a few hours ago, in his condemnation of today's brutal attack on Paul Pelosi, husband to the Speaker and Nancy Pelosi, Governor Jay Inslee attributed what he called election denial, Republican candidates Tiffany Smiley, Matt Larkin, fueling political violence. What smoking is to cancer, election denial is to political violence. I mean, you're right. So I could go on with this article, but I'm just not going to do the Jay Inslee verbatim stuff because he's not worth my breath. But I will tell you, this is akin to election denial. And I say that these people are calling people that, you know, election deniers and pro-life. And I mean, this party has no footing. They're 2 weeks away from less than 2 weeks away from the midterms. You've got key states that are floundering: Arizona, Oregon, Washington, Alaska, and on and on and on. You got Ohio, Pennsylvania. You know, we got Fetterman, we've got J.D. Vance. You know, we've got all these people all over the place. And the only thing that they can come up with is that, you know, if you vote conservative, you might not get to kill babies at will. And, you know, they're election deniers and climate change deniers. That's it. That's all they have. I mean, you know, what I would do right now, Lorianne, for mean tweets and safe streets?
Yeah, I mean, you know, this Build Back Better is going so well. You know, and the thing is you know, the liberals, you know, these extreme liberals are completely denying, what was it, not Newsmax, I'm forgetting the name of it, but they were fact checkers, and they were literally fact checking against themselves, saying that Antifa doesn't exist. So they did this fact check about Antifa, like Antifa doesn't exist, and no, they weren't behind the violence, you know. And it completely contradicts their own reporting from 2020 and 2021, you know, reporting on all of the violence that Antifa and the radical BLM people did during the Summer of Love 2020 and then into 2021 as well. And so they're so even the news organizations that reported on it are denying it. And so these extreme liberals are reaping what they sow. I mean, they instigated violence time and time and time again. Their politicians invoked violence time and time again. Maxine Waters, classic example. You know, so many of the Democrats were using quote-unquote violent speech. Like they always, you know, try to point the fingers at conservatives for using violent speech to incite violence and stuff. And they were doing it themselves. And no one on their side calls them out for it. The Democrats are the ones that were, you know, doing the defund the police and promoting that idea. They are the ones that were promoting, you know, letting these criminals out on no bail or very little bail and being lenient on the most violent, you know, protesters and, you know, not just protesters, but violent crimes all over the place. And they are sending the message out there for anybody that is violent and mentally unstable that it's okay to do this stuff. And guess what? You know, it's going to come back to bite them. Because they opened up the door for attacks on conservatives, calling us the domestic terrorists and all this, after everything that we saw from the extreme left for an entire summer or longer, like in Portland. It, you know, Antifa still rules downtown Portland. They're not talking about it, and you don't see it in the news, but they still do. And so, you know, the violence is going to eventually go back around on them that they perpetuated, that they promoted, that they allowed to have happen by their policies and their rhetoric and their lack of prosecution and their lack of respect for law enforcement. All of this is coming to a head. And now, and it's like poking the bear, poking the bear, poking the bear, poking the bear. And if you do it enough times, then eventually something like this happens. And
exactly,
like I said, the timing couldn't be better. You know, as an October surprise, this attack on Paul Pelosi is just right in the, you know, standard of operations for the extreme Democrat Party right now. Falls right in line with them, gives them just the perfect opportunity to further their narrative about conservatives being the domestic terrorists that everybody should be afraid of, and we're the ones that are going to destroy the country. It just works
yes,
out way too
I
well
agree.
For them.
I agree wholeheartedly. So let's break to this clip real quick. Now, this is the Fox News, the five dissects the implications of the Paul Pelosi attack today. And I thought we'd listen to this real quick and go back into discussion, because I think that there are some serious implications, and I'd like to get some, different viewpoints and stuff. And the host of the five, they have some great talking points and stuff. And I really haven't listened to mainstream media clips on this. I've been reading and catching up on it throughout the day. And I think it would be really interesting to hear what the media, quote unquote, even Fox News, I don't, digress to them completely in, all things. But I do think it is worth a listen to. So we're going to go ahead and play this real quick, and then return to the discussion. If you would like to join in this discussion, the guest call-in number is 515-602-9722. Press number 1. We'll see you up in the the soundboard and bring you on. So we're going to go to this clip real quick and be right back with you.
Nancy Pelosi rushing to be by the side of her husband Paul as we get some brand new details on this act of violence. Paul Pelosi brutally attacked with a hammer inside their San Francisco home this morning in the early hours of the morning. Reportedly, the deranged suspect was shouting, "Where is Nancy?" when he entered the house. Speaker was not there at the time. New video appears to show a smashed glass back door where the suspect may have entered their home. Police responded to a wellness check. We're not sure whether that was a home alarm or a call from Paul Pelosi. We're waiting on those details. It happened around 2:30 in the morning when they encountered this.
Our officers observed Mr. Pelosi and the suspect both holding a hammer. The suspect pulled the hammer away from Mr. Pelosi and violently assaulted him with it. Our officers immediately tackled the suspect, disarmed him, took him into custody, requested emergency backup, and rendered medical aid.
So it is not clear from the chief's comments who was initially holding the hammer, or whether the suspect brought it with him and used it to enter the home, or whether Mr. Pelosi perhaps grabbed it after he heard somebody breaking into his home. The 82-year-old remains hospitalized at this hour. Doctors treating him for blunt force injuries to the head and body. We're told that he's expected to make a full recovery, and we do not have any updates on his health. We know that Speaker Pelosi is on her way to be with him in California now. The suspect is in custody. He faces several charges, including attempted homicide and elder abuse. Police are still working to determine a motive, but neighbors and people who knew him describe him as having some truly bizarre behavior. The suspect seemed at times to be out of touch with reality, they said. He had trouble with eye contact. They said that they cut off contact with him. One of them, he was house-sitting for them. She said he was basically creeping her out, and she didn't want to be in touch anymore. So, so the big question here is whether this is reflective of political violence that's happening in the country, or whether it's reflective of serious mental health issues in the country and violence in general across the country, or some combination of both. Kennedy?
I think you hit on it, and I think it is a combination of both, because I think where we're at, the president promised to bring down the tenor of political discourse in this country. That hasn't happened. People are more divided. There are people who see words as violence, and there are people who it's very easy for them to cross the line and commit acts of violence like this because they are moved by their politics. When you combine that kind of rage, that sort of systemic cultural rage that we have right now that hasn't calmed down with untreated mental illness, that's when you have things like this happen. And for anyone, whether it's a Supreme Court justice, the Speaker of the House, or anyone who holds visible elective office, it's a really scary time. And especially in California, where so much money goes to social services, they're not doing it right. They really have failed the mentally ill, especially those who are violently mentally ill in that state. And they have not created appropriate systems to identify and treat people like this. And it's really sad that after the fact, we're hearing about all of these symptoms when, you know, with all that money and all of those resources, someone like this should have been identified and treated before something this tragic happens.
You know, Tyrus, I couldn't help but think of the woman who was on her way to her job at the airport here in New York City a couple of weeks ago, who was thrown to the ground, kicked in the head. She was in danger of losing her eyesight. And I thought, yeah, you know, this woman knows what it feels like. And a lot of people who've been pushed into subway tracks by perhaps similarly mentally unfit individuals in the country right now.
Well, the first thing is we wish him a speedy recovery. And we have to say thank God for the police department that they were able to respond to a call, get there just in time to save his life. Because as they arrived, he was being pummeled with a hammer. If the police weren't there, it would have ended up like all those videos that you just talked about, where the criminal would have took his time and just continued to beat and pummel him. So one, this is why it's so important to support your police officers and your police officers in your community, so they can get a wellness call or a 911 call and be there in a rapid manner to help and save your life. So good thing. Let's just be happy that in his particular neighborhood, the police were able to respond and be there. Because a lot of us right now in a lot of cities in this country, you call and there's just not enough. They're not able to be there. So let's just be really happy that that happened.
Very good point. Geraldo?
I think that sometimes things are as simple as they appear. Here you have a guy wearing his underwear, clearly a crazy guy, his social media indicating that he's totally into wacky conspiracy theories. He's screaming, and look to me, the way that back window was smashed out. He took no caution in sneaking into the house. He was busting in. He didn't care who, who heard him. He went, I'm surmising that Paul Pelosi hears this huge commotion, hits the button, goes downstairs to see what's up, picks up the hammer, and then hesitates before he uses it when he sees the absolute nut job. So this is a politically motivated, crazy person. I think the discussion on mental illness is an important discussion to have. But I think the danger is that by combining the two issues, the assault on Pelosi and mental illness, you tend to absolve or mitigate diminish the responsibility, the criminal responsibility of the person who attempted homicide, the person who attempted to kill the husband of the Speaker of the House, the person who was saying, where's Nancy, where's Nancy, and would have performed as violently if the Speaker was actually in there. And how tragic would that be, the number three ranked person in American government assailed and maybe killed by a nut job.
Jesse, you know, I'm just struck, Jesse, because we do so many stories of people being attacked violently all across the country. And a human being is a human being, whether you're Paul Pelosi or whether you're the woman who's getting her head kicked in on her way to work, right? And so there's all this concern all of a sudden about, you know, protecting our lawmakers. And, of course, we don't want to see this happen to the leadership of this country. But the problem is it's happening to lots of regular folks every day.
It's happening to everybody. Doesn't matter who you are. You got to watch out. I hope he's better. I hope he recovers quickly, because getting hit in the head with a hammer does not sound fun at all. He's had a rough year. He almost died in a car accident, and he now almost died from a hammer attack. Yep. So I wish him and his wife well and a speedy recovery. The guy that is the alleged attacker sounds like a homeless nudist. Mm-hmm. He was living in a storage locker, and he was an illegal alien from Canada with a rap sheet in San Francisco, we believe, so he should have been deported, but San Francisco is a sanctuary city. He's whacked. I read his social media profile. The man is crazy, and everybody should have known that. So he's mentally ill. There's a crime wave. It's touched everybody. The crime wave has now come to the Speaker of the House's house. It came to Zeldin's house, who's a congressman running for governor here. Someone rushed a stage with a weapon. Karen Bass, who's running for mayor in Los Angeles, she had guns stolen. It's happening all across the board. What I want is that I want this alleged perpetrator to be treated the exact same way if he had attacked anybody else. Because a lot of people get hit with hammers. A lot of people get attacked. And a lot of the times they're out on bail the next day and it's a simple assault charge. So I don't know why this guy is being treated differently. And he's facing what? Attempted homicide? He's in prison right now. We see people assault people all the time randomly with all kinds of weapons, and we see them released the next day. So I don't know why this guy is getting all of a sudden special treatment or different treatment because the victim was so high profile. Remember, if you call on a welfare check, the left wants to send a social worker. What if a social worker had come to this call? You would have had a dead husband and you would have had a dead social worker. That's why you have to have police, and I agree with Tyrus. Police responded right away, and they handled the situation. Thank God the police were there. And remember, the Democrats defunded the police in San Francisco. Big mistake, and they put the money back in, but these are the kind of mistakes we cannot keep making.
This guy was trying to kill him in front of the cops. The cops were right there, and he's smashing him with the hammer.
Yeah,
I mean, he's lucky he wasn't shot and killed.
Yeah.
There.
Well, they used a lot of discretion, and I'm glad they got him. Maybe they could have put a bullet in him. Who knows? I wasn't there. They do have security videos, so we'll maybe get a chance to look.
Hey, Sean Hannity here. Hey, click here to subscribe to Fox News YouTube page and catch our hottest interviews and most compelling analysis. You will not get it anywhere else.
All right, and we're back here at the Alaska Patriot Network, and that was a clip from the Fox News. Now, Lori-Ann, it's really interesting. Right there in the beginning of that clip, there were reports from people close to Paul Pelosi and the family that were saying that Paul Pelosi, who's in his 80s, was behaving questionably before this, and that one house sitter couldn't even remain, you know, house sitting because he creeped her out so much. Now, this is where I'm going to digress back to my theory that this was an intimate interaction. All right, you have... when you get older, you know, sometimes people lose their sense of self in dementia or Alzheimer's, and it plays out in certain ways, and they make questionable choices. And some patients act out in a highly sexualized way and or ways that are contrary to their, you know, normal selves, and that's why it is a disease. And it's just weird. I mean, it's really weird. And the fact that this David,
yeah, it's like, is this some kind of lover's quarrel going on? It's like, oh, the wife's not in town, you know? Like,
I know, this is like fighting Jeffrey Dahmer over for dinner. I mean, hello. I mean, so that's why I'm like, it was this a Grindr thing gone wrong? Because this guy is an illegal alien, a known illegal alien. He's not American.
From Canada, no less.
So he's from Canada, of all less. Why would he give a rat's ass about MAGA stuff? Why would he care about January 6th and the insurrection? I mean, this is so questionable. There is so many things. And of course, nobody wants to admit that, you know, their loved one was, you know, caught up in some kind of weird scenario like that. And the best deflection would be, how convenient. Let's just blame this on conservatives.
Yeah. Point the finger elsewhere, and it's deflection galore. And yeah, you know, it's like, if the guy is creepy already, you know, I just, you know, who knows what really goes on inside that household? You know, Pelosi is, you know, totally baddie. We all know that. Not only is she, you know, evil to the core, but she's also getting old and demented, which can compound that. You know, it's like, you know, and then, you know, Paul is also a questionable character. I don't know, man. Like, just like, this is crazy town, you know, and now it's like Halloween weekend. So we got, you know, extra creepy, like, you know, scary kind of political thing going on here. It's just, like I said, it's just mind-boggling. Especially as more stuff comes out, I think it's going to get even more like, wow.
Yeah, and, you know, Nancy, she's looking at, you know, seriously losing her throne. And they need every bit of sympathy from the left to keep that. They do not have enough electable achievements in this false administration to keep them afloat. We know that. We just outlined them earlier. You know, all they have is, you know, abortion and mean tweets and conservatives. They have nothing. And if Nancy loses that spot, Speaker of the House, that changes the succession if there is an invocation of the 25th Amendment. And that is really important. That we know that Kamala can't keep things afloat. And the third in line is Speaker of the House. The Speaker of the House is going to change at midterms. I promise you that, folks. I'm willing to bet on it. We will retain.
And, you know, nobody wants Kamala Harris. Nobody wants Nancy Pelosi. So how are the – you know, these things are really important cues, because even if the 25th is invoked against Biden – to get him out of office, the only thing preventing that, even from fellow Democrats that know he's off his rocker and incompetent, is nobody wants Harris and nobody wants Pelosi either. And so where do we go from there, right? You know, so the midterms are so important.
Well, they want Pelosi.
Because if we get, if the Republicans get the House, you know, if it changes hands, then that changes everything. If the Republicans gain the House and the Senate, you know, then there is grounds to put the 25th on Kamala Harris to make sure that she cannot be seated as a successor. And I'm sure that they would have, I'm sure over the last couple of years that the Republicans have been building up their case to unseat Kamala Harris as well. They get control of both the House and the Senate, then it's game over for the Democrats. And there will be no holding back with the punches when it comes to airing dirty laundry of Kamala Harris that maybe we haven't heard of. They're holding it back. They're gathering their evidence. You don't want to disclose what evidence you have and that you're going to use when you're going to invoke the 25th on not only the President of the United States, but the Vice President as well. So they're not going to show their hand until they know that they're going to be able to win the game. Is a conspiracy? Maybe, but maybe this is the lineup because, I don't even see any kind of rational Democrat being behind a Harris administration or a Pelosi. Those two have to be out of the game. Otherwise, it's just going to be even more disaster.
Yeah. And
sorry,
I'm not going to. No, that's fine. I'm not even going to go as far as I would like to say, you know, the other conspiracy is that, you know, Nancy did this to Paul herself, you know, hired a hitman or something. But I'm not even going to go there. I really do believe that whatever happened.
Well, why the hell not? I wouldn't put it past her.
Yeah.
He's apparently been cheating on her. He's, you know, maybe not being the best husband. For political reasons, Pelosi is as evil as they come, and I would not put it past her one bit if she put a hit out on her own husband, both for vindictive purposes and conveniently timed political purposes. I'll put it right out there and say it.
Yes. All right. Thank you. Amen. You know, but this is that tipping point. This is like getting ready to scream point. I mean, there's no turning back. Even if you go and grab that teapot off the burner, it's still going to give a little yelp. This is, I really believe, the dog whistle to attack the Conservative Party. And this rhetoric that we're hearing from the pretender and thief, Biden, by him automatically and all the key players, Jay Inslee and all of them behind it, calling out election deniers and January 6th. This sounds like one of Pencil Neck Schiff's weird little plays or something he likes to write. I mean, this is literally out of the playbooks of weird shit. I'll take weird shit that'll never happen, Alex, for 200. That really happened.
More like 1,000, you know?
Yeah, I'll take it. You know, but no, seriously, this is a tipping point. This is an administration that has nothing to lose, literally nothing to lose. They have thrown out every red herring. They have thrown out every conspiracy theory. You want to talk about conspiracy theories? Look at the left. You want to hear about spoiler alerts? Tune into the Alaska Patriot Network. Because I'm telling you, folks, this is not a – it has nothing to do with MAGA. It has nothing to do with mean tweets or January 6th or election denial. This was committed by – I want to know, where's this guy's clothes? Were his clothes found there? I mean, we're not hearing that part about it.
Like,
and I
if,
think
he's,
that's
if he's into, like, the naked lifestyle, then why would he only be in his underwear? He wouldn't have even been wearing that.
Exactly. I mean, I think that's a really important question. I know it sounds really kind of like, what the heck? But, no, seriously, where's this guy's clothes? I mean, you cannot tell me, Lorianne, that this guy creeped up to and if you've ever seen Nancy Pelosi's house, I know it's pretty big. I remember people setting up border
basically
cities
a
outside.
Very secure mansion.
Big wall.
Like, good luck.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this place is more secured than the U.S. border. Okay. I mean, we're talking high walls, you know, wrought iron, pokey stuff at the top, security details, cameras, nosy neighbors, paparazzi. And somehow this guy walked up the street with a hammer. Well, they say they don't know where the hammer came from. And why does Paul Pelosi, I don't even know if Paul Pelosi knows what a tenpenny is, let alone a hammer. Okay. Oh, where would Paul Pelosi ever get a hammer? So
they have people that do that stuff for them. He probably has no idea where the tools are even located, that all the people that work for them that use the tools store them.
Yeah. Paul just has a hammer laying around. So you guys tell me, you're trying to tell me that a illegal Canadian in underwear with a hammer walked up to this mansion, scaled the fence, broke a window, got in, and beat Paul Pelosi senseless. I just don't buy it. I mean, this thing holds water like a sieve. This is not, this cannot be. It just cannot be. And, yeah.
Yeah.
So this is definitely something that, you know,
it's
we're going to have to keep our eye on it. Yeah, it's an evolving story. It'll be really interesting, but it's just so, it's just really concerning. And
yeah, we'll
and
see what comes
news.
Up because, you know, hopefully on Sunday night on my show on Lucid Libertarian, hopefully we'll have more developments and more information and we can have a little more updates on whatever the heck's going on. So that's my plan for Sunday night. And so I'll try to keep an eye on the latest developments, and that'll definitely be a topic of conversation on my show on Sunday night with you as well. Hopefully you can make it on Sunday night as usual.
Of course, I'll be there.
Perfect. Good deal.
So, yeah. So in other news, we've got Elon Musk. He's made himself at home in Twitter headquarters, and this is amazing. And, you know, Lorianne, I love this because all these headlines this last couple of days with the Elon Musk, you know, going into Twitter and finally, you know, enjoying his hard-won acquisition, is that it's a takeover. Stormed, you know, they act like Elon Musk stormed the Twitter headquarters with armed commandos or something. I mean, where is the headline that says Elon Musk purchased in a open, you know, monopoly, you know, and after months of negotiations acquired this, you know, billion-dollar corporation? No, they act like he's some dictator who went in and just stole it.
I know, and it's like, it's not like we didn't see this coming. You know, it's not like they had any warnings. And I guess I just saw a post that I haven't had a chance to read yet, but I guess the employees of Twitter have presented Elon Musk with a list of demands, kind of, you know, requests. I haven't seen what those are yet. But, yeah, it's like, you know, this is happening. It's not like, you know, that nobody saw this coming. Yeah, and he's joking about it. He has a sense of humor about it. But, you know, lays off three very key people, the CEO, the COO, and their top legal advisor. And the legal advisor, which decided on, you know, forever banning Trump and have, you know, and keeping his account down. So, you know, and that's just the start of it. I'm sure he's going to be weeding out a lot more as things go on. But I love that, coincidentally enough, this move made Facebook's stock go down even further. You know, it's like they're already at a downhill scope, and now they just, like, completely, like, rolled into a snowball down to the bottom of the mountain. You know, just,
yeah,
it's
you
funny.
Know, and you know, for $44 billion, Elon Musk, I mean, you know, I hope you enjoy your hard-won acquisition because it is long overdue. You know, Twitter is I love Twitter. I hate Twitter. It's all those things. I've wanted to leave Twitter for a long time. At one point, before the great purge of January, after the supposed insurrection. I mean, I started that January with over 60,000 followers. And by the time they purged Twitter, I was down to, you know, 25,000. And they have me so geared down in Twitter that I can't accept new followers. I can't follow anybody. I can't do anything. And it's so interesting because a lot of these left-wing Hollywood elites are vowing to quit Twitter. And they're just big phonies. I mean, these people have enjoyed elitist status on Twitter. Their tweets are all amplified. They're never censured. They can do and say what they like. Never in my life would I ever have believed that they would, as any kind of social media platform, would deplatform a sitting president of the United States. And they did it to Donald
yep.
J. Trump. I mean,
yep.
come on, me.
And you know
me?
What? Now I might even start getting more active on Twitter. I've had a Twitter account for a while for my Lucid Libertarian. Don't really post there very often. Once in a while, I'll post a thing on my show. Never gets any attention. But maybe now with Elon Musk in the driver's seat, I won't be as hesitant, you know, to be more active on Twitter. And especially now that my Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann page on Facebook published and is still under review, I think this is day five, you know, it's like I need somewhere to go that still reaches a lot of people, you know, and all of the other, you know, MeWe and Gab and Parler and all these others, you know, they're kind of small potatoes. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to reach as many people on those platforms, even through social. You know, through social, I haven't had anything. I have people follow me, but and I've followed so many people. But guess what? When I go to True Social in my feed, I don't see Jack. I don't see anything from the people that I'm following. I see everything but them. And people aren't seeing my posts. So I'm not impressed with True Social. They got some work to do because people aren't seeing what they want to see on it. I know because I'm one of them. I'm following, you know, 150 people or something, and very rarely when I'm scrolling through my feed do I see anything from them. So there's still some, even True Social has some preferences going on. They say that they don't have algorithms, but I don't believe it for a second because there's no way to explain only the stuff that True Social wants us to see and nothing from anybody that I'm following. And I know that anybody that's following me is not seeing my stuff. There's no reactions, no activity, nothing. And so I'm just really not impressed with True Social at the moment. I don't know what's wrong with them, but they got some work. And so Twitter is another big platform that reaches a lot of people. And so now, like I said, might be the time for me to become more active on Twitter to get more attention for my Lucid Libertarian show. And start posting the stuff that I try to be a good girl and not post on Facebook, but doesn't seem to matter that, you know, even if I think it's okay. My page is unpublished because I shared a post from another page, like Colorado Peak Politics or something, and they posted an article studying the mental health effects of all the climate change doomsday rhetoric going on. And it's a sponsored post that I shared. So apparently Facebook didn't have any problem with this article or the post when the original page pays for it, but I shared it to my Lucid Libertarian page and bam. It is a community standards violation promoting suicide and self-harm. What? You know, like this is how backwards Facebook is going. And Twitter is much the same way until now. So, I'm definitely anxious to see the changes that take place with Elon Musk and getting a new CEO and getting some new leadership under it and seeing if it becomes a platform where I'm not so hesitant, where I don't have to worry so much every time I post something if they're going to punish me for it, especially legitimate stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, and you know, what you're explaining right there is it almost sounds like, you know, you're afraid to post because of censorship. You've got to watch how you say it, the nuance, the approach to it, everything. These social media platforms are no better than the CCP. And
yeah,
when
exactly.
This is a model of the, and I'm going to say it, the social credit system, that Lori-Anne, we don't like your thinking. You're not doing group think. Now we're going to penalize you. We gave you a warning, and then when you get the warning, tone it down a little bit. You start censoring yourself a little bit. And then somebody else, like you said, says something, and you say, huh, well, you know, or hey, it's a published article or on a mainstream media article, and you repost it. It was fine for them to publish it. It was fine for them to have it on their Facebook page. But when Lori-Anne, who had one X against her or one strike against her or whatever for some perceived slight, they're going to use that against you. And like I said, it's no different than the tactics of the CCP and the policing and the government overreach. And that is what big government has done to social media, or social media has done to big government. They are in bed together. This is a dangerous precedent. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised one day when in 20 years or 30 years they say, well, you know, Mark Zuckerberg, he didn't really put that all together. That was really a psyop deal by the U.S. government, you know, some kind of shadow agency to find out what people are really thinking. We, you know, get into their heads, get into their private lives, look at all their pictures, who are they with and stuff. People, you need to consider that when you are engaging with these social media platforms. They may not be exactly what they seem. And like I said, I'm not saying that Facebook is a shadow.
How many
government
Facebook are FBI agents? You know, I mean, it is littered with FBI agents. How many people on your friends list do you guess are probably actually FBI agents? Interrupt you, but you know, the thought came into my head.
No, really. Well, do you recall my bot scenario on Twitter when I started looking into these people that were following me, and I'd look at their pages, and I realized a lot of them, I uncovered, I don't know what this other group on of Twitter users, we uncovered, I mean, thousands of bot pages. Now, bots sound like innoxious, no big deal. But once you clicked on these user profiles and you went down a little bit into their personal feeds, there were links to like terrorist-like organizations. They had recruiting for jihad. There was bomb-making crap. There was drug-making crap. There was horrific pornography that is illegal in the United States, all kinds of stuff like these shadow groups. And I was wondering when I was reporting these accounts to not only Twitter, but some of them to Homeland Security, how many of them were actual government agents. And it was in that discovery and reporting process that I was inadvertently reported to the Joint Terrorist Task Force anonymously by a social media user that I was running a terrorist training camp or some type of scenario. I mean, this is where it kind of blew all up into. And so did I get too close? Was I getting too close to the truth? Was there a nerve I was hitting? Was it, did I really piss somebody off? Because that's a really good possibility too. I've been known to do that on social media. And I know you have had your trolls and whatnot. We've even had our call-ins here to
and
the show.
And the stuff I
post
is true. To add to that, then we're even injecting like the recent, did you see that video? Like they did an AI interview type of thing, totally artificial intelligence, recreation of Zuckerberg and Musk, I believe it was, having a debate between each other. And it was all AI, and it all looked really, really very real. They just did this. And so now we have not only FBI agents with all of these fake accounts, but now how many AIs are out there? I mean, they're trying to say that this is all new, but by the time they actually publicly disclose this technology, you know that the technology has been in development for years and has already been out there long before they ever announce it. So I wonder how many artificial intelligent fake bot accounts there are. And they are programmed. Their whole existence is to look as real as possible. So even with the most, you know, critical eye, when you're looking through profiles, when you get friend requests, and you see comments or whatever in posts and groups or pages, even to the most discerning eye that can, you know, have a sixth sense almost to spot a bot or a fake, these AIs just completely will look so real. So I wonder how many of those are out there.
Well, I can tell you, Lorianne, from being, I was really active on social media. Well, I used to be more active on Twitter, but I have gotten into, you know, heavy conversation, you know, or argument or, you know, discourse with somebody, only to realize by watching their responses and stuff, you can pick up a bot, and a bot will answer you really quick, and a chat bot will, and they will use, some of the AI now is better than it gets better every day, but there'll be repetitions in it and words that aren't normally used. And they actually have, like these chat bots, and they are, they're creating, an app. And it's called the Chai app, and it's where you can converse with these bots. In fact, there's a bunch of apps out there where you can have these conversations with these AI bot chats. And
there's
a lot. Yeah, exactly.
No thanks. I don't want to give them anything. I don't want to chat with them and freely give them information to compute and figure out how to manipulate me and others like me even more. Like, you know, that's the whole purpose of that.
Yeah. So this is really interesting because this ties into the whole meta, you know, metaverse and stuff like that. And, but you know, all right. For example, when you're getting on your bank website or something, you have this, hey, I'm here with customer service, can I help you, or Amazon or anything else, that's not a real person. It's not a real person at all. It is all AI, and it is it's discerning because the AI it took away jobs from people that used to have jobs. They're normalizing technology, and it's disturbing to me. It's really disturbing.
I like that you said that. It's taking away jobs, and I want to clarify that on a little bit, because, you know, there's a remote workforce and in offices, there's call centers where actual people answer the phone. And now they're integrating these AIs and these chat bots, you know, where you initially, you know, contact us, and they respond and to the keywords that you type in with what your issue is, all this stuff. And that's all tier one level stuff. So they're using AI and these bots to basically get rid of tier one level customer service and technical support, you know, obviously. So And what is tier one level technical or customer service? That's your you know, basic level where you learn the products, you learn the company stuff, blah, 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 and you interact with customers and you help solve their problems and all that kind of stuff. That is what, that's your starting job. When you get your degree, you know, you got your 2-year or 4-year degree in computer science, you know, that sort of thing, and you're going for your first jobs, you're usually going for those tier one jobs that get you in the door and get you some, you know, hands-on tier one level training, and then you move up from there. So it's literally robbing that tier one level. All of those jobs that recent graduates would normally be going for and get to get started in the industry that they just spent, you know, tens of thousands of dollars on a degree for, and they're taking out that whole, the whole first tier one level, all of those jobs, making it even harder to get your foot in the door, and not only in IT support, but also customer service, because, you know, you contact your tier one customer service, they can only do so much, and then they'll graduate you up to, you know, higher level customer service, that kind of thing. So, you know, when real people are involved, you know, then, you know, those, you know, they'll get the job done, but now they're starting with the tier one level jobs with these AI bots, and pretty soon it'll be the tier two level too. You know, these AIs will get sophisticated enough to be able to handle even tier two level issues, eliminating even more jobs.
Yeah. You know, and this history repeats itself, Lorianne. We saw this in Detroit with the automotive and, well, outside of Detroit as well, but with the automotive industry, when they automated with robots the assembly lines. And you saw entire plants shut down, things moved overseas, entire cities become ghost towns. Look at these areas. They're so depressed. They still have not recovered. And now they're doing this with all other levels of service. I go to the store and they want me to scan my own groceries? No.
Yeah.
It's not happening.
Walmart, Target, you know, they're opening up more self-checkout lines than regular register lines. And no, I'm sorry. I will always go to the person that does nothing but ring shit up all day long. You know, because I am always aggravated with the self-checkout. I absolutely hate them. I have to try to ring stuff up more than once. It doesn't all add up. Then a clerk has to come to check everything anyways. Stupid machine, you know, won't accept something or misreads it or misweighs it or whatever. And it's just as insanely, every time I've ever done self-checkout, which has been quite a while, it has been nothing but an aggravating experience. But, you know, a lot of times when I go up to the register and I work with an actual person working there, I am more than happy to be nice to that person. It's like I am more than happy to come into your lane and have you that does this all day long scan this crap for me and make sure that it's accurate. You
know? Well, yeah, and they're not even offering you a discount for using the self-checkout line, and they got you working for them and paying them for the product. No, not today, Satan. Not doing it. So, yeah, no, this AI stuff and everything, it's in our life. It's inevitable, but doesn't mean you have to like it, doesn't mean you have to buy into it, and you really need to buck back against it.
It's my message to everybody out there listening is be nice to your register person, your clerk that checks you out. You know, just be a cool person. Make their day a little bit better, you know, because it's typically a shitty job.
Yeah.
Be that person that's nice. Be that person that keeps them employed. You know, put a smile on their face. Be nice to them. You know, and, you know, if you want them to go the extra mile for you, then the very least you can do is be a pleasant person to deal with. As much as possible.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. So I think this is a perfect time to for a little bit of J.P. Sears. And it's a clip called Our House of Cards is Crumbling. And he's one of my favorite comedians. He's a realist. He's been with us all through all of these shenanigans of the last few years, building momentum and building steam. He's got always such a great message. Let's go ahead and cut away from AI.
I was hoping they would get to the J.P. Sears. Yes.
Yes. So we're going
like
to go ahead.
J.P. Sears is a staple for the Alaskan Patriot Network to play at some point during the show.
Yes, we love that. So we're going to go ahead and hear what J.P. has to say about things. I can't wait to hear what he has to say about the Pelosi thing. But, I'm sure he's making that content right now. So we're going to go ahead and break away to and hear what J.P. Sears had to say on his last clip, his last little episode thing here. So here we go.
All right. Let's get going.
Did you forget something?
Yeah. I didn't state my pronouns before I entered the newsroom today. So embarrassing. It's the same kind of humiliation like if you've ever had a dream where you show up for work naked, but you don't realize it until you get to work. So embarrassing.
You are naked.
Didn't notice that. Surprisingly, not embarrassed, though. I must have forgotten to get dressed after I did the morning drag show for kids. Welcome to tonight's Mental Terrorism. The people are finding things out and our whole house of cards is crumbling, but we're still trying to save it with our top stories we'll deceive you about this evening. The CDC approves the to become part of every child's inoculations. Moderna CEO says boosters aren't necessary, while Switzerland is destroying 10 million doses. Researchers have created a variant in a lab with an 80% kill rate. Thank God they're doing that. Censorship might just be losing the war on free speech. And a new poll shows the majority of people believe the mainstream media is a threat to our democracy. And those people can go screw themselves, as we'll attempt to shape your thinking about that and more in just a moment. But first, in what could possibly go wrong with this news, researchers at the University of Boston have created a clone variant that has an 80% kill rate on mice that they've tested it on. I like to think of people as just future mice. But some people who are being misled by the misinformation of common sense and lessons from past mistakes are shocked that the researchers would be doing this. But these free-thinking morons simply don't understand the benefits that come from creating a variant with an 80% kill rate. The benefit of this breakthrough research is that if they can somehow manage to keep the variant from escaping from the lab, then no catastrophic harm to humanity will be done. So it's a cool way for them to practice containment. The other main benefit is that if a bat were to get into the lab and then spread this variant to people while it's doing bat things, then could you imagine the level of compliance it would create? Could be great for business. But will it happen?
I think so.
Can't wait. But the Boston researchers pushed back, saying their research made the virus replicate less dangerously. And they went on to say, ultimately, this research will provide a public benefit by leading to better, targeted therapeutic interventions to help fight future pandemics. Those future pandemics are the ones we can't wait to benefit from. I think we'll be able to stick the landing on passports in the next one. Moving along, a journalist investigating Biden has been raided by the FBI and hasn't been heard from since. And we're not going to cover this one. What's next? A recent poll reveals that many Americans believe the mainstream media is a threat to our democracy. I am outraged. In the poll, 71% of people said they believe that our democracy is under threat in the U.S. And of those people, 59% said the mainstream media is a major threat, while 25% consider mainstream media a minor threat. They think we're a threat to democracy? If that's not misinformation, then I don't know what is. Nothing could be further from the truth. Let me break it down for you. Our core ethos at the media are for us to be pro-censorship, anti-free speech, pro-narrative, anti-truth. We do our very best to influence elections by smearing the political opponents of our anti-democracy administration. We promote the irreversible mutilization and sterilization of children, promote racism every chance we get. We wipe our butts with the Nuremberg Code and smear it in your face with 75% of our funding coming from pharmaceutical companies. And accordingly, we've done our very best over the past couple of years to create a second class of citizens, all wrapped in the context of terrorizing you with fear so you'll be more controllable. So for the soulless life of all of us at the media, we cannot understand why so many people think we're a threat to democracy. They're simply incorrect. If anything, we're the ones who are trying to save our democracy based on what we tell you to think. By the way, the fine folks who control our puppet strings didn't approve those people to think those thoughts in the poll. So with the upcoming social credit score system we'll be pushing, they'll be sorry. Look forward to seeing the polls after that. Moving along. In our efforts to be even better at clubbing your mind like a baby seal with our fear-mongering, we have breaking news! We've just received reports that a completely uncensored comedy special is being released today. It's called Please Censor This by so-called comedian and confirmed dangerous extremist J.P. Sears. In spite of the ever-growing censorship that big tech uses to protect you, the comedian found a way to stick a middle finger in the face of the censors to bring Please Censor This to the world by partnering with free speech platforms Rumble and Locals. This leaves us utterly helpless in our efforts to censor, shut down, and ban what the thought police definitely don't approve of. Worse yet, Please Censor This is the first ever comedy special made specifically for freedom lovers by a freedom lover, which is obviously fascism and threatens our democracy and our whole damn agenda. However, even though this special is causing more outrage and harm than using the wrong pronoun on a college campus, it is being tyrannically acclaimed by some of your favorite leaders. Here's what they had to say. There's no insider trading information in it. It sucks. Nancy Pelosi. Please Censor This came from a bat and we need to slow the spread. Anthony Fauci. How did he get away with this? Mark Zuckerberg. False. The fact checkers. Because of Please Censor This, we need to close schools and shut down all businesses. Gavin Newsom. My wife is not a man and I despise this comedy special. Former president and probably current president Barack Obama. We need to kill comedy and it should count as a COVID death. The CDC. Please Censor This caused January 6th. Liz Cheney. My speechwriters didn't write anything for me to say about it. Former Vice President Joe Biden. This is literally violence. Blue-haired lady in Portland. I'm not showing this in my concentration camps. Justin Trudeau. Abortions are the only way to get Please Censor This shut down. Stacey Abrams. It's really good if you watch it on crack. Hunter Biden. I never flew on his jet. Bill Clinton. They love it, I guess. But you should hate it. Do not get access to Please Censor This by going to pleasecensorthis.com, where you can also get a VIP bonus edition with full access to the Freedom Lovers community. In the meantime, we'll continue working hard to shut this thing down in our ongoing efforts to protect you from the three biggest dangers in our country, free speech, truth, and comedy. Back to the stuff we're in control of. In a unanimous vote of 15-0, the CDC has voted to recommend the be included in the childhood schedule. This means the high-risk category of babies as young as 6 months old will get it. It also means that your child won't be able to go to school unless you change their gender identity to guinea pig and comply like you should. The CDC's ruling comes just a week after the scientifically powerful testimony of a Pfizer executive when she told the European Parliament that their product has never been tested to see if it stops transmission. This even though the company has been proven to purport that it does stop transmission. But good healthy guesswork is simply the speed at which science moves. The CDC's vote stands on even stronger validity when you consider that the product also doesn't stop infection, which is further evidence that all children should be subjected to it. But the CDC's ruling gains even more credibility as the Moderna CEO came out the next day saying people under the age of 50 don't need boosters. This as Switzerland announces they'll be destroying and disposing of 10 million doses that they've previously purchased from the pharmaceutical giants. While in Denmark, they're no longer recommending the product for people under the age of 50. A near flawless combination of events that leaves no question about the CDC's integrity in protecting the pharmaceutical companies from parents and children who don't care about profits. Meanwhile, Pfizer has just announced they'll be hiking the price of their product by 400%. I guess because it's more valuable than ever now. This just in! Hillary Clinton without makeup is George Soros. And in Canada, Dr. Makis, the author of over 100 peer-reviewed publications, is urging the Canadian Medical Association to investigate the 80 deaths of young doctors in Canada, which is an increase of 800% more deaths above the baseline for some reason. Well, if we have anything to do with it, and we do, I don't think they'll find anything unusual about these unusual deaths. That's it for tonight's news. People are finding things out. We don't like it, and our whole house of cards is crumbling. But we can't stop now because we don't want to go to jail. And please censor this as available now. Don't watch it. Good night.
Yeah, I think it's a deer antler or something. I'm not totally sure. Hey, I wanted to let you know my comedy special, Please Censor This, is out and available now. You can get access to it by going to pleasecensorthis.com. We found a way to bring it to you in spite of big tech, Netflix, Amazon, and all their censors and unwillingness to let freedom lovers voice their true voice. Found a way to bring it to you. You can go to pleasecensorthis.com to get it now. I also have a Freedom Lovers VIP bonus edition available with some really cool features. Love to have you be a part of it. You can check it out now. And thank you for your support. I put my heart and soul into this. I can't see where I'm going.
Hey, I want to thank the sponsor of today's video, Boncharge, the makers of my favorite blue light block.
All right. We are back. Welcome back to the Alaska Patriot Network. Yeah, that was hilarious. And that was put up a couple days ago by J.P. Sears. He's a great comedian. He's got a lot of fun stuff out there. I can't wait to hear what he has to say about the Pelosi thing. I know it sounds morbid and dark, but...
Hopefully, puts one up on Saturdays, so he probably will put one up by the time we got the show Sunday. So, yeah, if he does, I am definitely going to play it on Sunday.
All right. So, and I feel terrible, Lorianne, because I know I'm blindsiding you with this, but you catch up quick. All right. I was listening to the clip and something came to me and we were talking a little bit earlier about Succession and, you know, Pelosi possibly not being, you know, Speaker of the House come midterms. All right, folks, now we got to go to John Fetterman because Pennsylvania is a huge race that all eyes are on this. And, we come in, you know, Dr. Oz is not, he's conservative, but he's not like he wouldn't have been my choice for candidates to run in such a big state. But what's important to me right now, Lorianne, is we're looking at this person who, like, the rest of this administration, this false administration, is somebody that's not well, that cannot speak, has cognitive delays due to a stroke. It's unfortunate. I do not wish that on anybody. However, he is running for lieutenant governor, and therefore, I think it's fair to question his stability. Now, I was listening to this J.P. Sears thing, and I was like, why would they want, and they didn't really talk about Fetterman. There was a couple things that brought up, you know, some of these thoughts. But one of my thoughts, Lorianne, was why do they really want Fetterman to run? Because I do not believe that if somehow he was able to win the lieutenant governor's seat, that he would be able to serve it and maintain it. And his health, like I said, is very questionable. He's still in recovery from his stroke. And so I started looking up Pennsylvania and their legislation. And what would happen is if for some reason Fetterman was unable to serve his term, the highest ranking member of their legislation would acquire this position. And this person's name is Joanna McClinton. And she's a member of the Democratic Party. She serves in the Pennsylvania House of Representatives. She represents the 191st House District in Delaware County, Delaware. Okay. She was, in November 2020, she was elected to serve the House Democratic leader. She checks all of the boxes. Okay. She's a black woman from Delaware. It's very possible that this is
so
the
she's
person.
She's from Delaware, but she's in Pennsylvania and representing Pennsylvania. Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Exactly. yeah, so she came from Philadelphia, but she originally represented the House District in Delaware County in Philadelphia. Oh, wait. House District in Delaware County and Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Okay, Delaware County. It's not Delaware. But anyway, so this woman...
Oh, okay, Delaware County. Okay.
Yeah. So it's interesting. She has a degree in political science. She, like I said, she was a former assistant public defender. She is a alumni board. She's a alumni member of board member of LaSalle University's Alumni Association Board of Directors and president of LaSalle University of African American Alumni Association. It's really, really interesting to look at the succession of this and why they would.
That makes sense. They like her better, but let him run and gain the favor, whatever, you know, he has a base. I mean, you know, there's people that support him avidly. So hopscotch off of that and declare him incompetent and put in the person that you really want, which she would be then already second in line. That's definitely a strategy I could see happening.
Yeah, and it's interesting too because we know that Fetterman his views on he wants to let a lot of prisoners out. He wants to purge Pennsylvania's prisons of prisoners and release some really bad people out there on the streets. And it's very, very interesting because this woman, her policy proposals center around education reform, creating a state funded indigenous system, meaning a social justice, you know, reform. She proposed legislation to establish a universal pre-K and reform the Pennsylvania expungent system. As a public defender, much of her focus was on reforming Pennsylvania's criminal justice system. She has proposed changing the indigent defense system from being funded by the city to being funded by the state. So federalizing, essentially, or, well, state funding, which gets federal funding, their reform or their justice system. She also
Get the federal government to pay for as much as possible, you know,
exactly.
To foot the bill as much as possible to win the agenda. And, yeah, and then your state taxpayers pay it for it as well. So it's like both profit from it. How convenient.
Yeah. So and in 2018, she was elected to serve as a Democratic caucus chair by the members of the House of the Democratic Caucus. And then in 2020, she was elected to serve as the House Democratic leader. These are kind of things you want to, you know, Fetterman is not a strong candidate. I mean, strong enough to, you know, carry his weight, his movement's weight to here. But I do not believe he's sustainable. I do not believe that his health will carry him through. And it's sad. I don't like the guy, but it's sad to me that anybody would do this to a loved one. His wife is like Dr. Jill Biden, standing by watching an inevitable, you know, head-on collision and doing nothing.
Yeah.
And neither one of these women are taking the wheel.
Not able to do anything, really, you know? Yeah.
And,
like, you know, powerless
to
stop the downward spiral. Yeah.
Yeah. So this woman, like I said, her name's Joanna McClinton. You know, it's interesting because, like I said, I don't think that he's the one being elected. There's an ulterior motive. Somebody owes him something. It's kind of like Joe Biden. You know,
exactly. We want you to be the face, you know, just like a newscaster. You're just the face on the TV, but we're feeding you what to say and how to act and everything like that. You've got to play your part. And it's just, you know, it's all acting.
Yeah, and you know we're about to wrap up the show, and it went by really fast. But there are some strong takeaways from this.
Well,
and
we could go into overtime if you're up for it.
Yeah, not happening tonight, folks. Sorry, but I will say though that you know we started the show with the Pelosi leadoff, and. You know, just in the short period of while we were on air, social media, the mainstream media, everybody's blowing this up to be a hate, you know, conservatives have perpetrated this by their election deniers and everything else. These are monumental times in our history. This is going to be a tipping point. And it seems really like innocuous, like what's the big deal? But no, this type of rhetoric is that tipping point that there's no coming back from. Lorianne, our cities could be burning by the end of the weekend. We've seen this dog whistle by the left before. You know, anybody out there, you got a target on your back right now if you're not bending to their group think. I want everybody out there to, you know, don't be afraid and don't hide or anything, but by all means, you know, don't buy into this BS line that that this unfortunate attack had anything to do with our strong conservative forward movement into this midterm election time.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of great candidates. we've got, you know, the expose just recently in the Arizona elections where Carrie Lake's opponent, Katie Hobbs' sister, was exposed on Project Veritas for what were they doing? Funding Trump candidates? Some kind of, what was that?
I don't know.
No, we just played it on your show last Sunday. But essentially, the left were funding.
That's how my brain works.
Making,
like on the spot, like I'm like, what did I do last Sunday?
No. But they're funding campaigns of Trump endorsed candidates, hoping that people would. And see, that's where I'm kind of confused. Why the left would spend their money on Trump-endorsed candidates and support their campaign financially. And I think what they wanted to do was they figured if they were running against a Trump appoint or Trump-endorsed candidate, that people would dismiss that person as nothing but a mean tweeter, a racist, all these derogatory things that they associate with President Trump, which are all untrue, unfounded. And because these people, they didn't have strong people to go up against any conservative. So they've been trying to paint these people and uplift people they thought that had bad marketing qualities. They're like, well, if we give money to this campaign that's Trump endorsed and this person gains momentum, they'll be easier to beat than somebody that is not Trump endorsed. Because the left assumes everybody hates Trump. They all have TDS so bad that they can't see how ridiculous even that move was. I mean, that was
But
like,
you know what?
Seriously?
The sad truth is there are more Democrats that are regretting their decision for voting for Biden. And there are even a segment of Democrats out there that would be like, if it's a Biden-Trump 2024 again, they'll probably vote for Trump because it's been a disaster and they regret their vote. You know, there are people out there like that. They're not very vocal about it. But there's a big segment of like rational Democrats that are just absolutely really not, you know, if it's Trump or if it's Biden, they'll vote for Trump just because crap has been so bad with Biden and they regret their decision for voting for him in the first place. The actual people that did vote for him, you know. Not including the dead people and the made-up people and the the duplicates and all that, which we know happened. We all know it happened. The numbers were rigged on so many levels, and we're already seeing problems with this election, which we had, you know, tons of stuff to talk about too on that subject. There's just election anomalies already going on. They're encouraged, you know, the Democrats are encouraging the early vote just like they did 2 years ago, because it's like they knew the Hunter Biden story was going to come out. So they were encouraging everybody, all the Democrats, to vote early, get their ballots in early. And by doing so, they couldn't change their votes. And it was something like 35% in some big poll said that if they knew about that story, if that story had come out before they mailed in their ballots you know, mailed in their ballots, they would have reconsidered their vote for Biden. And they knew this. Biden wouldn't have lost the election if that story had come out even 2 or 3 days sooner. Because in that time, so many Democrat voters early voted, sent their, did their mail-in ballots and got them in early, and therefore could not change their minds. And the same strategy is going on now. Don't for a minute think the strategy isn't going on now. A lot of Democrat voters have already mailed in their ballots. And now this Paul Pelosi stuff is coming out, and we have no idea what the backstory is with the guy that did it. If it was some, you know, mentally deranged dude that maybe Paul had abused somehow. I mean, I there's endless possibilities. And people have already turned in their votes, so they can't change their mind no matter what comes out between now and November 8th. That's the scary part. That's why conservatives are encouraging conservatives to, you know, vote on election day. Here in Oregon, it's, you know, go to your county clerk's office and drop off your ballot in person. Avoid mailing your ballot in too soon. Avoid voting too soon and turning it in because you have no idea what's going to happen, and the other side, the opponent, is depending on people early voting and not being able to change their mind no matter what horrible dirt comes out. Okay, end rant.
End rant. So before we cut out for the night, would you like to share what we've got going on the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann show on Sunday night?
Yes, you and I will be together again. Tune in for the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann show Sunday nights from 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific time. So that would be 9 to midnight Eastern time. Dahl and I will be together again. And, of course, there's going to be some continuation about this Paul Pelosi attack story as more stuff comes in, because obviously tonight it's all fresh, and I'm sure more stuff is going to come out in the next couple days. So we'll continue on that discussion. We'll talk about election stuff, because lots of election stuff. The momentum is building against Oregon Measure 114, which would be the nation's strongest state laws in regard to gun control that better freaking not pass. so we can talk about that. all kinds of stuff that we can discuss for 3 hours on Sunday night. And Dahl, yes. Thank you so much for having me again. I love being on with you. I love that you've started your show again, and I'm happy that we're together again tonight, and I definitely look forward to Sunday night with you and Friday nights with you as well.
Yeah, I can't wait to, like, settle into being back on air on a regular basis, and I have some work to do on my social media pages with that stuff. So everybody that found us tonight, I just want to say thank you so much for tuning in. Tune in to the Alaska Patriot Network. Every Friday night, 7 to 9 p.m. Alaska, 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific. 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and then
yep,
10 to midnight on the East Coast. So, yeah, and Lori Ann, thank you for joining me, and everybody else out there. God bless you so much, and keep it real, and fight like hell out there, folks, because this... Seriously, we're the chips have fallen on the table. The cards are where, you know, we've laid everything out, and it's now or never. So vote red or you're dead.
Conservatives, you know, Republicans and libertarians, get your vote out. Do it now. you know,
yeah, independence, all of you.
Get out there. If you haven't voted in however long, please just do so. Please just go vote. You got to make a difference. We got to rely on your vote because that's how our political system works. And the more people that come out to vote, the less fraud can prevail. Put it that way. When there's a low voter turnout, it becomes even more easily manipulated and fraudulent.